It is Tuesday, August 27th, 2013, and from the Carver Center for Public Radio, this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas's Women's Giving Circle. The AMP Arkansas Music Pavilion presents Alabama Shakes Friday, September 6th. This retro soul band offers a mix of rock and alternative music. Gates open at 6 p.m. with music at 7:30. Tickets and more information available at amptickets.com or 443-5600.
Ahead on the program, the conclusion to our six-part series examining what the Affordable Care Act may mean for Arkansans. Our final story explores what residents requiring long-term health care can expect. And Shakespeare returns to the park.
Plus, the future of news media from the Washington Post to the Arkansas Times. How the print and digital worlds are changing and trying to survive. Roby Rock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas talks to Blake Rutherford of McLarty Companies about how national and local media outlets are adapting with changing times.
But first, representatives of ExxonMobil are working to reassure state leaders about the safety of the Pegasus pipeline. It comes after the March rupture of the pipeline in Mayflower, spilling thousands of gallons of oil. Yesterday, Karen Tyrone, vice president of the ExxonMobil pipeline company, was among executives at the Capitol meeting with state lawmakers and others.
We're going to restart the line when PHMSA says we can restart the line. And in fact, beyond that, as ExxonMobil Pipeline Company, our commitment is that we're not going to submit a plan to restart until we understand what happened and believe that we have the actions to prevent it from happening again.
The company is also asking for patience in completing a report on previous inspections, saying a full analysis will take several more months. But environmental activist Glenn Hooks with the Sierra Club says he is not reassured.
This pipeline should never be restarted. I mean, if we've got these kind of manufacturing defects that they're talking about, I'd like to see what kind of defects are in the Maumelle watershed. I think the risks far outweigh any sort of rewards here. There's no real benefit to the people of Central Arkansas to have their drinking water put at great risk here. So shutting down this pipeline seems like a good idea to me.
Many political leaders, including Republicans and Democrats, have been calling for ExxonMobil to move the pipeline outside of the watershed if it is to be restarted.
Efforts to stimulate economic investment in rural communities across Arkansas are outlined in a new report by the University of Arkansas Division of Agriculture. Dr. Wayne Miller, an extension economist, says the Rural Profile of Arkansas 2013 report shows how many manufacturing jobs in small towns have been shipped overseas to South America and Asia. Miller admits those jobs will probably never return, not as a result of the recent recession, but because of long-term structural changes occurring in rural Arkansas.
I think there's a lot of opportunities for growth of jobs in rural Arkansas. It requires a change in our thinking away from trying to recruit some firm to come in and provide jobs for the residents in the region, and looking at what we have locally, what natural resources, what human resources do we have, and how can we use those to create products that people want to buy.
Miller says economic progress can be made if policymakers rethink their approach to development. He says there needs to be a fundamental shift from constantly finding ways to attract outside business interests to a new focus on investing in the human capital and natural resources that already exist in rural areas.
Arkansas's economic incentives programs are now receiving more scrutiny. Hewlett-Packard, which received $10 million from the governor's Quick Action Closing Fund in 2008, announced earlier this year it would lay off employees at its Conway Center. Those layoffs and others have led some to question the state incentives that companies like HP must pay back when layoffs occur. Arkansas Business Reports state economic development officials say companies should expect to pay back at least some of the money they receive if they fail to meet certain employment numbers promised when accepting economic development money from the state. However, Mark Friedman, a reporter with Arkansas Business, says some of the information of that development money isn't public information.
The Arkansas Economic Development Commission says some of that information is proprietary and not subject to release under the Freedom of Information Act. So we don't know exactly how many jobs they didn't create, so we're sort of left out in the dark on that.
The information isn't made public, as economic development officials say it could give competitors an advantage. But Friedman says the provisions don't necessarily cause businesses to shy away from accepting money from the Quick Action Closing Fund.
The companies usually welcome the clawback provisions. Of course, they think they're going to hit the goals. Sometimes companies may underestimate exactly how many jobs they'll have just to be sure to hit the goals. For example, a company may think it's going to add 500 jobs, but it'll tell the state, well, we're going to hit 300 just to be sure that they hit these employment goals.
Aside from HP's pending clawback payments to the state, Allied Wireless, Nice Pack of Jonesboro, and Pinnacle Foods in Fayetteville repaid a total of $215,000 back to the state after collectively receiving $8 million from the Quick Action Fund. All three companies failed to meet employment goals.
Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville has acquired a new major artwork by American modernist painter Edward Hopper. Blackwell's Island was painted in 1928 at the height of Hopper's career, and the 34.5 by 59.5 inch canvas was bought by a private collector earlier this year at Christie's Auction House in New York for $19.2 million, the second highest price ever paid for one of Hopper's pieces at auction. Blackwell's Island will join paintings by Georgia O'Keeffe, Charles Sheeler, and George Bellows in the early 20th century art gallery at Crystal Bridges.
Lane closures will affect evening and early morning traffic on the north side of Fayetteville through the end of the week. Between the hours of 7 p.m. and 6 a.m., one southbound lane of College Avenue and one westbound lane of the Fulbright Expressway will be closed to accommodate work on the 71B flyover bridge. Specifically, the closures are necessary for installation of the bridge's steel beams. And while the beams are being swung into place, the expressway will be fully closed for periods of up to 15 minutes.
It's a new school year at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, and enrollment continues to grow. The university announced yesterday that more than 25,000 students are enrolled this year, the first time ever that the university has broken that particular threshold. Additionally, many ongoing construction projects that have marred the campus landscape in recent years, such as the expansions of Ozark and Volwalker Halls and the construction of the new Founders Residence Hall, are now complete. We'll have more from the first day of classes at the U of A later on this edition of Ozarks at Large.
The Northwest Arkansas Naturals dropped two of three games against the Arkansas Travelers in their series at Arvest Ballpark. Last night, the Travs beat the Nats 9-5. The final four-game series at home begins tonight in Springdale before the Nats will travel to North Little Rock for the final three games of the regular season.
Mostly clear tonight with lows from 65 in northwest Arkansas to 74 in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow, sunny with highs in the lower to mid-90s. Mostly clear tomorrow night with lows from 66 degrees in northwest Arkansas to 75 degrees in the Arkansas River Valley.